Good to have Torin with us this morning. Morning, Torin. So make sure you say hi to him on your way out. Catch him before he runs off and greet him. We've been going through the book of Genesis called In the Beginning. And if you remember, a couple weeks ago, we had a guest speaker last week because Stacy and I had been at a conference most of the week. But if you remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Tower of Babel. Those of you who are here, there were big boxes on the stage, and I built the tower of me versus the tower of God, and how at times we live our lives very selfishly, we live our lives very me-focused, as opposed to living for God and God's kingdom as well. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12 this morning, but I wanted to just briefly touch on the passage in between. Genesis chapter 11, verses 10 through 32. It's a list of genealogies, and at times we gloss over these things and think, well, genealogies aren't important. When you come to the book of Matthew, you'll realize genealogies are pretty important because God is working in the midst of those people's lives. And so we get a list of Shem's descendants. We get a list of Terah's descendants in chapter 11 of Genesis. And I want to just give us a couple important keys to lead up to the call of Abram that we'll be talking about in Genesis chapter 12. And one of those keys is that God continues to provide grace in allowing sinful man to procreate on the earth. God continues to give grace so that men continue to live and flourish. Man is allowed to have free will and move and do other things as well. We also remember that death is still an effect of sin. If you start in verse 10, it says, these are the generations of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he fathered Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he fathered Arpachshad 500 years and had other sons and daughters. And when Arpachshad had lived 35 years, he fathered Shelah. And Arpachshad lived and he fathered Shelah 403 years and had other sons and daughters. And you can continue to read through and you find out that death is still a reality. Death is still a result of the sinfulness that occurred way back with Adam and Eve. Not only that, but God had made a promise in Genesis chapter 6. God promised that there would be now be shortened lifespans. And as you read through there, you begin to see shorter and shorter lifespans. We go from Arpachshad living 600 years to Terah in verse 26 of chapter 11, or verse 25, sorry, living 119 years. The shortening of people's lifespan, and that is a promise that God made back in Genesis chapter 6. Kind of the main thing, though, is God has a plan. God has a purpose. God is working in all of this. Moses, who is writing this, is recognizing that God had a purpose in each of these people's lives. No matter how hard they are to pronounce, God knew their names, and God was working within that context of those people's lives in order to bring about the birth of Abram. And then God would call Abram as well. And I've talked to you before about how we have this zoomed out and zoomed in view in the book of Genesis, where we've been zooming out and zooming in. We see all of creation and God created, and we see the fall where we're zoomed in, but there's effects that are for zoomed out all of creation. And we see the flood, which is God working within the life of Noah, but being zoomed out and all of creation being destroyed. And you come to the Tower of Babel, which is zoomed in. God's working in this little place where there's a town. It says God had to come down because they were building a tower up. They didn't get high enough, apparently, because God had to come down to see it. And so they zoom in on that, and then the effects, God dispersing the people over the whole earth. And so it's just zoomed out, zoomed in. Well, we're going to be zooming in a lot more because we're zooming in on Abram, and we're going to start seeing his lineage. We're going to start following that. So let's pick up in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them there. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of the Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. We're going to talk this morning about how do I honor God by faith. The Bible tells us that Abram is a man that honored God by faith, and we're going to talk about how do I honor God by faith, and we're going to answer that question this morning. The first way we're going to answer that is you need to listen to his instructions. How do I honor God? You need to listen. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country. Abram was listening, obviously, because he heard God speak. And the Bible doesn't tell us anything about the relationship Abram had with God at that time. Abram came from a place that would have worshipped many gods. But it does tell us that Abram was in a comfortable place. Abram moved with his father and his nephew Lot at some point from Haran to Ur. This is kind of the location here, just to give you an idea. The right-hand side, see, I have a laser. Right-hand side right here, that's Ur. He traveled up, and he lived in Haran for a while. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he lived there. He moved with his father and his nephew, and they lived there for could be 30 or 40 years. But after living somewhere 30 or 40 years, you get comfortable. You get comfortable in your surroundings. You get comfortable with where you're living. When I was young, my parents did a lot for me. The younger you are, like Ellie's age, Naomi's age, we pretty much have to do everything for them. And so when I was young, my parents did everything for me. They cleaned, they did the dishes, they did the laundry, they did the cooking, they did everything pretty much, right? And as you get older, you begin giving responsibilities to your kids, and they begin to take on some of those things. But as an adult looking back on that, I go, wow, that would sure be nice to just be able to sit back and have all of that stuff done. How many of you would say that would be really nice to have all of your household responsibilities? A lot of the moms in here are raising their hands, I notice. It'd be really nice to have everything done for you. Kids, look around. Say thank you to your parents because they do a lot for you. We get comfortable. Stacy and I moved here a couple years ago, and we're still learning how to get places. We use GPS and other things, and I'm getting where less and less. You know, if I'm going somewhere, I'm like, okay, I don't need GPS for that anymore. I know where I'm going here. I know how long it's going to take, all of that stuff. And so I begin to get comfortable, but I'm learning there are certain roads around here that you don't want to go down. And so there's still a challenge of learning about things. Now, some of you, most of you have probably lived here for a lot of your life, and you're comfortable. You know how to get places. You know the roads to avoid. You know the best route. You know what traffic's going to be like. There was one morning I was going to visit somebody up at the hospital, and I left early. I left at like 5:30 or 6 o'clock. Boy, traffic sure is a lot different at 5:30 or 6 o'clock than it is when I normally come here. There were people flying around me, and I had no idea. But we get comfortable in our surroundings, and this is the way Abram was. Just to give you another perspective, Why would Abram make this trip? Well, this is the Fertile Crescent. He makes this trip because, well, that's where the food, that's where the water, that's where everything is going to be. And so he travels up this way and then back down because he's not going to go through the desert. So that's why he made that travel. But his father and nephew, his family, they stopped kind of up at the top there. And they settled and they got comfortable. God called Abram to step out of his comfortable spot. God called him to give up his personal identity. The family that he had surrounded himself with, God called him to step outside of that. And God called him to go into the unknown. I want to show you this morning what it looks like to listen to God's instructions and walk by faith, but I'm going to need a volunteer, and I'm going to ask Steve to come up. You can leave your glasses there. You won't need them. I'm going to ask Steve to come up, and he's going to be my volunteer this morning. How you doing, Steve?
Probably better than I will be.
Probably better than you will be. Okay, Steve. Do you trust me?
Sure.
Sure. How much do you trust me?
Depends what you're going to ask me to do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you to put on this blindfold. Okay? So I'm going to help you with that. So if you want to turn around here, I'll tie it for you. Is that too tight?
Nope.
Feel good? All right. Can you see anything?
Not with my eyes closed.
Not with your eyes closed. All right, good. Well, keep your eyes closed then. All right. So, Steve, you said you trust me. Do you trust me to guide you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here we go. Okay, Steve. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to guide you. Okay? So pretend God is telling you where you need to go. Just like Abram said, God told Abram, you need to go, and I will direct you to the land, right? So, Steve, I want you to turn to your left. Turn a little bit more to your left. Okay, now I want you to take about 3 steps forward. Okay, that's good. Now turn to your right. Nope, too far. Turn back to your left. Okay, stop right there. Okay, now I want you to take a step forward. Now take another step forward. Okay, now I want you to take about a half step forward. Okay, now there's going to be some adversity coming in your life. You said you trust me, right?
Okay.
So what I want you to do is I want you to take a step down. I want you to take a step down, Steve. God is asking you to do that. Okay? So there's adversity. Now you're going to take another step down. Good, and you're going to take one more step down. Now keep coming forward. Follow my voice. Just come forward. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. Now stop. Now turn around. Turn a little bit more to your left. Now I want you to walk sideways to your right. Turn a little more to your left. Walk sideways to your right. Walk sideways to your right. Walk sideways to your right. Now have a seat. You can take the blindfold off now. You made it. Back to your seat. It takes trust. How did you feel when I asked you to do that, Steve?
Not too bad until you asked me to go down.
Not too bad. He was a little fearful. He was a little scared that, what if I fall? But guess what? I was there. If there had been an issue, I could have helped him. I would have fallen with him. It would have been okay. However, it would have made that work. But God sometimes asks us to do something that is outside of what we can see. God called Abraham to go, and he didn't necessarily know all of the specifics. But he gives us instructions from his word. And as Christians, God doesn't call us to comfort. He doesn't call us to sit still. He calls us to faith and obedience. And at times, it can be pretty scary to walk by faith and not by sight. You want to trust, you want to obey, but what if it doesn't work out? What if there are struggles or trials or obstacles in our life? And there will be those times of hardship, even as God is directing you and helping you go on that journey. Many of you are familiar with Psalms 23. Some of you have memorized it, but it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't know how much you guys know about shepherding sheep. I don't know much. But one of the things I do know is sheep can't see well. And when it starts to get nighttime, the shepherd doesn't lead from the front. He comes back to the sheep and he walks among them. So they begin to feel him walking beside them and they know his smell and they know his voice. And so they follow him because he is right there next to them, helping them. Much like Steve got to the pew there and he had a little struggle and he needed a little help to make it in. And so that's how God is when we're going through these struggles at times. He's right there with us, bringing us comfort. In order to honor God by faith, we first need to listen to him. When was the last time you spent listening to God? And I'm not talking about talking with him, but listening. We struggle in our culture so much with listening. I've heard it said God gave us two ears and one mouth for a purpose. You've heard that too. Many of you are shaking your heads. But have you spent time quietly listening to God? Abram listened to God, and that was part of his way of honoring God by faith. The second way we see of honoring God by faith is understanding his blessing and following in obedience. God promises to bless Abram in multiple ways. He'll be a great nation. His name will be great. He will bless others, and others will be blessed through him, including all the families of the earth. This blessing is a contrast to the effects of the fall. This blessing is a contrast to the curses that have happened in the last 11 chapters that God has put upon the earth. But you'll notice the first part is he needs to go. Verse 1, go from your country. Verse 2, and I will make you a great nation. They're linked. The go and the and are linked. You have to go first, and then I'll make you into a great nation. If you stay here, if you stay in your comfort, you're not going to be made into a great nation. So there is obedience that must go first. Listening to God's voice must go first, and then the blessings will come. Deuteronomy 28, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read a little bit of it. God promises to bless the nation of Israel, and Deuteronomy chapter 28 is all about the blessings and curses that God is going to give upon the nation. I'm just going to read a few verses. It goes through verse 14, Deuteronomy chapter 28 through verse 14, but I'm only going to read a few of them. And if you faithfully obey the voice, listening to God, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Says it twice, obey the voice of the Lord. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your herds, and the young of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And it continues on, talking about the blessings of God. If you want to read that this week, I encourage you. Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks about some of the blessings that God was promising to the nation of Israel. You notice that God's blessings, he's blessing them, but there's something required out of it. The blessing comes, but it's not going to come unless there's obedience, unless they faithfully follow God. When we come to the New Testament, blessing looks a little bit different. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sits down to teach, and he says, verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed, Jesus says, are you. And if you didn't catch those, what were the promises, the blessings? Jesus promised the kingdom of heaven. Jesus promises being comforted in the midst of grief and suffering. Jesus promised the inheritance of the earth. He promised being fulfilled with righteousness from God. He promised getting to see God and gaze upon him. He promised being called the sons of God and receive a heavenly reward. And many of these are future blessings. Some of the things he promised don't seem like blessings at all. Blessed are you when people persecute you and you go through these things, but they're helping to make you more and more like Jesus Christ. And it comes to a point where Paul says this. In the midst of, I gotta skip over those, we already went over them. In the midst of thinking about the blessings, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul is realizing these blessings and he says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Paul's saying you're receiving every spiritual blessing as a Christian. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, if you're walking that journey, God is backing the spiritual blessing dump truck on you, and he is just dumping it. Every spiritual blessing. Yes, there's going to be times of hardship. Yes, there's going to be struggles. Yes, there's going to be persecutions in life. Yes, there's going to be troubles, but we are given spiritual blessings that are beyond measure and give us hope, hope for our future. Hope and promises to look forward to. And think about this. Did Abraham know where he was going when God told him to leave? No. Hebrews chapter 11, talking about the hall of faith and Abram, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Much like being blindfolded and asked to walk on this path, on this journey, Abram went out. He said, okay, God, I'm going to listen, I'm going to obey, and I'm going to follow you. Yes, there's going to be trouble. Yes, there's going to be things that happen on the way, but I am going to follow you and obey. James says it this way, James chapter 2, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. How do we honor God by faith? Well, we have to actually do it. We have to listen to God, but then we actually have to obey and follow through on what he asks us to do. God's spiritual blessings are awaiting those who follow him by placing their faith and trust in Jesus' death on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins. That's the first step in the journey of following God. Obediently following him leads us to becoming more and more like his son. There's one final way to honor God by faith, and that is to worship him amidst the journey. Twice in these, in two verses, It says, verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord. Verse 8, from there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord. In the midst of this journey, Abram's traveling and God talks to him. And he builds an altar and then he travels some more and he builds an altar to God. Altars in the Old Testament are places where God and his people would interact. They didn't have churches, and in that time they didn't have a temple to God or a sanctuary to God. And so Abram just took it with him. He would build this altar, and then he would travel, and then he would build another altar, and then he would travel, and at times he would build another altar, and that's the situation of how he would worship God. God's appearance, not like the with Adam and Eve, where he was coming down and walking amidst in the garden before the fall. Now God's presence is being limited to certain occasions where he would interact with people, where he would have communication. There's a stark difference between worship in the Old Testament to where we find ourselves today, living in the light of Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus said this in John chapter 4, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so God is calling us now to worship him with our lives. And we're not limited to doing that in the church building. We're not limited to doing that by having to build an altar. Now we can worship him in spirit and in truth. Wherever we go, just like Abraham, when he could build an altar, we can worship God wherever we go, wherever we're at. We had worship practice on Wednesday. Wednesday night we had worship practice. And sometimes, maybe you have a hard time believing this, but sometimes I'm not in the best of moods. Sometimes I get grumpy too. Wednesday, I had a lot on my mind and things were going through and I'd been struggling that day, maybe for a couple days. And I knew we had worship practice that night, and so I came in a little early, like came in the sanctuary a little early from my office, brought my guitar, and I just started playing and started singing some songs. Why? Because worship helps us get our minds right. Worship helps to take the perspective off of ourselves and helps it to put the perspective on God. Worship is the antithesis, the opposite of our worry. Worry focuses on our lives. Worry focuses on our problems. But worship turns our focus towards God and allows us to rest on his promises. You see, worship places our lives in the proper perspective and God in his proper place. So do you worship God amidst the journey? There are great days, and maybe those great days it's easy to worship God. And then sometimes there are harder days. There are more difficult times to worship God. There are difficult times maybe to get your heart right. How do you do that? How do you get your heart on a mindset of worship? Sometimes that's hard to do. Well, if you can play an instrument or sing, that's one way to do it. My girls, they just all the time, they have a song in their heart. Sometimes it's a Jesus song, sometimes it's not a Jesus song. All the times there's a song in their heart, though. They're always singing and dancing and doing stuff. Maybe you're not that way. If you're not that way, how do you get your heart in a mindset of worship? Turn on the radio. That's one of the easy ways. Turn on the radio, turn on to a Christian station, and start listening. Start listening to the words and the promises of God in those. Read God's promises in your Bible. Do a Google search. God's promises verses. And then just start reading through those verses. Maybe it's finding a peaceful spot in creation. Probably not today. It's a little bit windy out there. Not going to be so peaceful. But finding a peaceful spot in creation once we have nicer weather where you can sit and worship God through viewing his creation. Maybe it's spending time by yourself. Maybe it's talking to others about your walk with God and how he has met some of those ways, or listening to others about ways that he has been working in their lives. Maybe it's serving others. Sometimes we get so self-focused, but by serving others, it can get our minds back in a worship perspective. You see, as God calls us on this journey, he calls us to worship him amidst all of the trials, all of the struggles, all of the joy, all of the pieces of it. So these are my questions this morning. How am I doing at honoring God by faith? Are you listening to his voice? Do you understand the blessings that he is ready to dump out on you? The spiritual blessings that are promised to those who believe by faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Are you obedient and following his words? His words I'm referring to is the Bible, which gives us his holy words. Are you obedient to what he tells you to do in here? Are you reading this? You can't be obedient if you don't know what's in it. Are you obedient to him? And does the journey drive you to worshiping him? Would you pray with me? Father, we ask that you speak to us in the midst of our daily lives. We ask that you give us the ability to listen. We ask that you help us in the midst of our trials, that we obey and don't run away in fear. We ask that you walk beside us in the midst of the dark valley we may be going through. We ask that you help us in the midst of the storms of this life. God, and through all of that, we want to worship and praise you for who you are. We want to give you honor and glory for all the things you do, not just the good things, but sometimes the things that you put in our lives that turn us back to you or help us to be more like you or work on a specific area in our lives. God, may we give you honor for those as well. May we give you glory for those as well, and may we praise you with our hearts and our minds and our lips and our actions. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we close today with that old hymn, the promises of standing on the promises of God.